One thing was certain. It was the black kitten's fault entirely. The kitten had been having a grand game with a ball of wool that Alice had been trying to wind up, and had been rolling it up and down till it was all knots and tangles.
Oh, you wicked little thing. Really, Dinah ought to have taught you better manners.
And Alice caught up the kitten and scrambled back into the armchair, taking the kitten and the wool with her.
It's all very well for you to sit on my knee, Kitty, and watch me winding up the ball of wool again. And you may think you're helping me when you put out your paw and pat the ball, but you're not. Kitty, can you play chess? You know, with a chessboard and chessmen. There are the red king and queen and the white king and queen, and the white knight and the red knight, and the castles and the pawns. Kitty dear, let's pretend. Let's pretend that you are the red queen, Kitty. Do you know, if you sat up and folded your arms, you'd look exactly like her. Now do try, there's a dear.
And Alice took the red queen off the table and set it up in front of the kitten as a model for it to imitate.
Now, Kitty, you're not folding your arms properly. And don't look so sulky. I shall hold you up to the looking glass so that you can see how sulky you look. There. And if you're not good directly, Kitty, I shall put you right through the looking glass into Looking Glass House. How would you like that? Let's pretend there's a way of getting through into it somehow, Kitty. Let's pretend the glass has gone all soft, like gauze, so that we can get through. Why, the glass is turning into a sort of mist now, I declare. It'll be easy enough to get through.
Alice was up on the chimney piece while she said this, though she hardly knew how she'd got up there. And certainly the glass was beginning to melt away, just like a bright silvery mist. In another moment, Alice was through the glass and had jumped lightly down into the looking glass room.
Oh! Now, is there a fire in the fireplace? Oh, yes, there is. And it's blazing away just as brightly as the one I've left behind. How very odd. Everything that I could see from the old room looks quite common and uninteresting. But everything else is as different as it can be. All the pictures on the wall next to the fire seem to be alive. And the clock on the chimneypiece has the face of a little old man. And it's grinning at me. They don't keep this looking glass room as tight as we keep ours. Some of the chessmen are actually down in the hearth among the cinders. Good gracious. They're all walking about two and two. There are the red king and the red queen. And there are the white king and the white queen sitting on the edge of the shovel. And here are two castles walking arm in arm. Don't think they can hear me. And I'm nearly sure they can't see me. I feel somehow as if I was getting invisible. Yes, I'm quite sure they can't see me at all. What's that squeaking? Why, it's one of the white pawns on the table. It's rolled over and kicking like anything. What will happen next?
It is the voice of my child, my precious Lily, my imperial kitten.
Ow! Imperial fiddlesticks!
I'm coming, Lily, my precious.
The White Queen rushed past the king so violently that she knocked him over among the cinders, and she began scrambling wildly up the side of the fender to get up to the table. The king was covered with ashes from head to foot. Alice was very anxious to be of use, and as the poor little Lily was nearly screaming herself into a fit, she hastily picked up the queen and set her on the table by the side of her noisy little daughter, the white pawn. The queen gasped and sat down. The rapid journey through the air had quite taken away her breath, and for a minute or two she could do nothing but hug the little Lily in silence. As soon as she'd recovered her breath a little, she called out to the white king, who was still sitting sulkily among the ashes down in the hearth.
Mind the volcano!
What volcano?
Blew me up. Mind you come up the regular way. Don't get blown up.